All right, here we are. Let's get started this morning. First with a word of prayer, and then we're going to dive into this devotional teaching this morning. So let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are grateful this morning for your word, for the knowledge and the wisdom and the experience that we get, God, from knowing you through your word and encountering you in very real, tangible ways. Holy Spirit, we pray now that you would come and do what Jesus said, that you uniquely can do, and that you would be our teacher and our guide this morning. Speak to us, O God, as we look at this really, really important passage of Scripture. God, speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so here we are, living on purpose from mediocrity to maturity. This is our ninth week, and we're kind of coming toward the end of it. We might have another week or two left. But what we've been doing is going through 2 Peter chapter 1, and we've been looking at these characteristics, these traits and virtues that we are called to add into our life so that we can go from mediocrity to maturity. And again, we've said for the last 8 weeks previous that maturity, friends, it's not an option. Christian maturity, spiritual maturity, isn't just for, you know, those that are going to go into the ministry or whatever. No, it's for every follower of Jesus. Maturity is not an option, especially in the days that we're living in. And so we've been unpacking these truths where Peter says in 2 Peter 1 that we need to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and then to perseverance, godliness, then brotherly kindness. And then last week we looked at love, okay? So as we mature and increase and add these virtues to our life, what can we expect? We've been talking about these four amazing promises or these God guarantees that if we will incorporate these eight virtues into our life, it comes with a guarantee from God. God lets us know, hey, this isn't for nothing. Like, you're actually going to grow and mature and be a fruit-producing Christian. And that's, of course, what we want. So today we're going to pick this up, 2 Peter 1, verses 8 through 11. We're going to cover the first two verses today. And then next Monday, we'll cover verses 10 and 11. But I want to read them all this morning. 2 Peter 1, 8 through 11. Peter writes and says, for if these things... Well, what things? These things that we've been talking about, these eight virtues. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and he has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, if you do them, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, real quickly, we're going to unpack these first couple verses. Again, in verse 8, he said, if these things are yours and abound, you're neither going to be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we go. He says, if these things are yours, okay? Sometimes I think we look at really familiar words and just kind of blow over them. But this is really important here, friends. If these things are yours, it denotes ownership and possession. It means that you just don't intellectually understand these things, but that you actually possess these things. If these things are yours, if these virtues that we've been talking about belong to you, that you can actually say, I own these things. You see, friends, here's the thing. There is no owner, there is no guarantee apart from ownership. Like, you don't get a guarantee for some product that you buy unless you buy it, unless you own it, unless you possess it. And that's when the guarantee, that's when the promise is there to back the product up. And so what God is saying to us here in this passage of Scripture this morning is, listen, these things have to be yours. You've got to own them and possess them. They've got to be real to you in your life and in your heart, in your actions, in your doing. These things have to be yours. And then when they're yours, the guarantee and the promise then comes. And so I don't want to miss the importance of that simple word, yours. So I want to ask you this morning, are these things yours? Can you say that you possess them? Can you say that these are real in your life, that you're operating in these things? If these things are yours, he said, and not just yours, but that they're abounding. For if these things are yours and abound, it's a very interesting Greek word. It actually means to super abound. It has this meaning of not just increasing, but like leaping and loping and super abounding. Like it's on warp speed. Like these things are super abounding. You're growing on a continual basis through your relationship with Jesus. And so as you experience Jesus, right? That's what this is about. As you experience Jesus and you super abound in these things and these things become yours, that's when the guarantee, that's when the promise of God starts to kick in and you start to realize, oh my gosh, this is true. This is real. God is real. Friends, listen to me. People want to experience God. I believe this with all my heart. People out there who don't know the love of God found in the person, the Savior, the Messiah, Jesus, people want to know that. They just don't know how to experience Him. I'm telling you how to experience Him. First of all, put your simple faith in Him. You don't have to have all the answers, but just say, Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. And now I'm going to start adding these things in my life. And as I do, I start experiencing Jesus. He becomes real to me, man. And I start super abounding. And the promises of God, the guarantees of God become real in my life. And so what is this first guarantee that we're going to look at? First of all, he said, you're not going to be barren. You're not going to be unprofitable for the kingdom of God. You're not going to be unproductive for kingdom purposes. Listen to me now. You're going to become somebody who God can call on, who He can tap on the shoulder and say, hey, Steve, hey, Ward, hey, Terry, hey, Jane, I need you right now. Hey, Michelle, I need you right now for this cause and this purpose. And see, He can tap you on the shoulder because He can trust you. Because He knows that you've been adding these virtues into your life. He knows that you've been growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. And so then He releases you to Christian life and adventure, where He starts using your life to be profitable for His kingdom. This is how this works. And so our first guarantee is that you're not going to be barren. You're going to be someone that God can call on to bring Him glory, to be a difference maker, to change the world, to know what your purpose is. See, this is what we're talking about, living on purpose. So if you're interested in having purpose in life that is ordained by God Himself, man, you need to add your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, and the list goes on and on. Add these things, make them your own, super abound in them, as the scripture says, and watch God's guarantee come through that you're not going to live a barren spiritual life. Let's go on to our second guarantee now. He said, not only will you not be barren, but you won't be unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus. I'm hesitant in using this word, but it's the right word. You're not going to be unfruitful. You're not going to be ignorant. You're not going to be ignorant or clueless, listen to me, about the truth of Jesus Christ. You're not going to be barren. You're not going to be unfruitful. Why? Because you've been experiencing Him. You've had an experiential knowledge. Listen to me again, friends. It's not just head knowledge. It's not just, I will always, you know, it kind of cracks me up when I read people, I'm talking to someone on an airplane or whatever, and they say, oh yes, I've read the Bible before, or, you know, or I go to church. Listen, going to church, right? It's been said so many times. Going to church didn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a cheeseburger. You've got to experience God. You've got to experience Him. You've got to be fruitful in the knowledge of Jesus. You can't be ignorant or clueless about the truth of Christ. You can't lack knowledge of the ways of God. You've got to know the ways of God because you've experienced the ways of God. Because you've read what He said, you've incorporated into your life, and when you do it, you go, man, this stuff is for real. This is for real. Listen, I know that I'm talking to someone right now. You've been thinking, I know this might sound strange, you've been thinking about what you really need to do with your life. I'm telling you what you really need to do. In fact, I'm not telling you, God's telling you. You need to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to allow Him to give you divine purpose that is rooted in His very heart and power so you can live a life of fulfillment, of joy, of peace, of passion, of reason, of determination, of fruitfulness. First guarantee, you're not going to be barren. Next, you're not going to be unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus. You're not going to be ignorant and clueless. You're going to know what the ways of God are. Now, here's where I love this right here. If you'll think about who's writing this, it's the Apostle Peter, right? If you think about Peter on the day of Pentecost, what does Acts chapter 2 tell us about what happens on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit gets poured out and people start speaking in unknown languages and they're declaring the great works of God. 17 different nations are listed there in the scripture and they all hear those early believers filled with the Holy Spirit speaking the wonderful works of God in their own language. And people are freaked out because they're going, hey, these are all Galileans. How are they speaking our language? Well, that's because God gave them the ability to do that. So everybody's freaked out. They're not sure what this spiritual explosion is that's happened. And then they're saying, they ask this question. The unbelievers ask this question and they say this, what does this mean? And then the scripture says, and Peter stood up and said, this is that the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophet Joel, that in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And he goes on and explains from the scriptures what it is that's happening in the moment. Now, friends, we can just overlook that kind of because of our 21st century understanding where every house has multiple Bibles and there's computer programs and there's notes and there's all of these study aids. Listen, Peter stood up in a spontaneous moment without preparing a sermon because he had invested himself in the knowledge of God. And God was able to tap him on the shoulder, turn him loose and say, Peter, let him know what's going on right now. Peter had walked with Jesus for 3 years. He experientially knew Jesus. He wasn't just someone who had heard of the carpenter from Nazareth. He had personally experienced the risen Savior. He knew him. He had knowledge of his word. He had knowledge of his ways. And because of it, he wasn't unfruitful. He wasn't barren. God could tap him on the shoulder and turn him loose on the day of Pentecost because Peter knew God. Peter knew the word. And he was able to speak the word over the people. Listen to this. You can read it there in Acts chapter 2. A 3.5 minute sermon and 3,000 people said yes to Jesus. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is born that day. Peter, who's writing this to us, who's saying, listen, man, you're not going to be barren or unfruitful if you give yourself to the knowledge of God. He's speaking from personal experience. He's an old man now who is getting ready, as he tells us in just a few verses. He said, listen, Jesus has told me I'm about to die. I'm about to put off my tent. I'm an old man who's followed Jesus now for over 30 years, and I'm thinking back over my life. I'm thinking about those critical, crucial moments, those moments that really made a difference in my life and in other people's lives. And he says here to us, without question, knowledge of the Word of God is what's going to be a difference maker for you. Knowledge, not just one of the eight virtues we've talked about, but increasing in knowledge so that we won't be barren or unfruitful. You got to give God something to work with. You've got to hide the Word in your heart, hide the Word in your mind. And then when God taps you, he can pull on that knowledge that you have already given yourself to. Peter, as an old man, he's getting ready to die. He's thinking back over his life and he's going, hey, this is that. Y'all, knowledge of God's Word and his ways. It is something that will produce a God guarantee for you that you won't be barren or unfruitful. Now, in verse 9, I want to get here quickly. In verse 9, Peter's going to give us a reason why some people lack these virtues in their life. Now, listen to me. I'm not just talking about people that don't know Jesus. I'm talking very clearly here about people who know Jesus and yet have kind of wandered away. They've got lukewarm in their faith. Listen to this, 2 Peter 1:9. For he who lacks these things, these virtues we've been talking about over the last 8 weeks, for he who lacks these things, look at this, is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. He who lacks these things, in other words, someone who has no ownership. These things are no longer his or hers. They lack ownership. He who lacks these things is what? He's short-sighted. It's interesting. It means things, spiritual things, have become smoky and opaque, and she can't really see as clearly as she used to. Spiritual things have become cloudy. He who lacks these things has become short-sighted. And look at what he says. Even unto blindness. What's he? He's not talking about physical blindness. He's talking about being visionless, passionless, purposeless. He's talking about losing your way because you've lost touch and ownership with these virtues. Whatever it is you've gone through your life, or the woundings and the harassment and the opposition that you face, whatever it is, it's caused you to relinquish your ownership and your intentionality about adding these things and abounding in these things in your life. He goes, look at what's happened. You lack these things, you become short-sighted and blind, and you've forgotten that you were cleansed from your old sins. It's like you forgot the very purpose for which God saved you. Friends, God saved us not just to save us from hell in the future. God saved us to save us from hell now. God saved us to allow heavenly power to rest upon us now, heavenly purpose and passion to rest upon us now. We can't forget that. We can't lack what it takes to live a life on purpose that makes a difference, that impacts people's lives, that gives other people a reason to live and to hope and to find meaning and truth and purpose. Man, it's all in Jesus. And if the church, if you and I as followers of Jesus, if we're not the ones communicating that to a lost and dying world, nobody else is going to do that. And so God has entrusted us with the gospel. God has entrusted us with these virtues to add to our life so that we won't be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus, so that he can tap us on the shoulder when the moment arises and he needs somebody to step up, stand up, and speak up. And then, bam, we're right there. And God does something miraculous. He uses us in ways we never could have been used apart from him and apart from his truth. Okay? He said he has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins and the purpose. Now, this is exactly what happened, friends, to the Laodicean church. The Laodicean church, Jesus writes to him in Revelation 3:17, and he says to the church, because you say, I'm rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, Jesus said, and you don't even know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked. You've become short-sighted even unto blindness. When we forget these things, when we forget the reason that God has saved us, we become blind, spiritually speaking, and we lose our way. So friends, I would want to wrap with this. As an old man now, I've told you this about Peter. This is his last epistle, his last written communication with the church. He's getting ready to die. He's thinking back over his life. As an old man, people wonder if Peter isn't playing on the fact that as we age, what happens typically? We lose our sight and we lose our memory. And so Peter says what? I need to remind you not to forget. Not to forget. I need to remind you not to become short-sighted and blind. I don't know whether he's playing on those physical realities in our life of lack of memory and lack of sight or vision. It doesn't matter whether he is or not. The truth is the truth. And the truth is, you and I need to be reminded, hey, listen, we can't lose sight. We can't lose sight of what we need to be adding to our life. We can't forget why God saved us. He saved us so that we can, again, not just escape hell later, but experience heaven now and help others experience heaven as well. So there you go. There's a good word for you this morning. And so we bless you this morning. Sarah and I both. We love you. We thank God for you. We bless you this morning in the name of Jesus. May the power of God's Spirit rest upon you. May you remember, may you see these virtues, these promises, these realities, and may you walk in the peace and power and purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. May you live on purpose today. So God bless you. We love you in Jesus' name. We look forward to seeing you next Monday. Keep Sarah and I, our family, in your prayers as we keep you in ours. God bless you. Thanks for spending this time with us this morning. We'll see you real soon. Bye-bye.